Okay, Representative Sean Kastens, the Democrat from Illinois 6th, was able to join me just before the show. We recorded a conversation where I started by saying, I'm reading a story that says that you went some 300 miles from your Downers Grove home to do a town hall meeting, you, the Democrat, in a Republican district that is not your own. What was that all about?
Well, slight correction. I actually did two town halls, one in Dixon, a little closer to home, and then we drove down to Carterville. Number one, I love town halls. In my 6 years in Congress, I think I've done almost 90 at this point. And I love them because it's how democracy works. You make sure that people understand what's going on. You answer their questions. You hear what's on their mind. You understand. Everybody is a little smarter in the ballot box as a result. And when the head of the National Republican Party told their members not to do town halls because constituents were so upset with them about Medicaid cuts, cuts to the VA system, tariffs that are hurting farmers, it really felt like this was the right thing for us to do because the folks in those districts are no more or less deserving of access to government officials and understanding what's going on than the folks in my district. So I figured I've spoiled my constituents all these town halls. So I'll take a weekend off and go to a couple in some other parts of the state. And
even though those people can't vote for you or against you, but there you were sort of flying the flag. Was this more just to highlight the fact that the Republicans themselves weren't hosting town hall meetings? Was it a way just to shine the light on their absence?
This was about democracy, not about politics. The basic bet of democracy is that A, people will vote, and B, when they vote, they will be fully informed. And for any of us who have the privilege to be in elected office, who understand what's going on, to then say, I don't want my voters to be informed, is how you break democracy. And I was very clear with people. I'm not asking for your vote. I'm not running for a statewide position, but I want you to understand what's going on in Washington. And if you disagree with me, that's fine, but at least you will know that we came and didn't ignore you.
Is it possible that you might actually be running in an area where these people could eventually vote for you?
I suppose if Illinois lost 99% of the population, it would be possible for me to redistrict it and run all the way down south.
Well, you were also in Ray LaHood's district, though, right?
No.
Darren LaHood's district.
No, the maps were just redrawn. This is literally not a politics thing. This is just about making sure that people understand what's going on. And also what was nice is, I think it makes me better at my job as well. I represent suburban Cook and suburban DuPage. I don't spend a lot of time in rural parts of the district, and hearing from those folks in those parts of the district about, how scared they are about Trump's tariffs that are going to decimate soybean exports. I wouldn't have known that but for being down there, but I still get to vote on the farm bill. I still get to vote on tariff policy. And so I think it makes me better at my job, but also gives these folks a voice to what's going on.
What were the crowds like?
It felt a lot, my own district is very purple. I don't think I've ever won by more than 54%. And it felt a lot like my own town halls of a good mix. There were some, there were some Democrats there. There were also some people in, full MAGA regalia. And, what I liked, there was, I think you may have seen the Tribune story that they quoted a woman who was there, wearing a Donald Trump hat. And she said it took guts for him to be here and he treated us respectfully. And that's kind of the point, right? You're not there to tell people that they're right or they're wrong or, this person's better because of who they voted for. We're just there to say this is what's going on in our democracy.
Were these raucous meetings?
No, they were very respectful. There were some painful moments. There was a lesbian woman who stood up and said she was really scared about her safety in a country that's going to demonize the LGBT population. There was a Glenn Pouchard, former Democratic representative from down there, who was very critical of the Democratic Party for ignoring rural America.
Right.
And that's a healthy conversation, and it's appropriate to do that. But I wouldn't say it's raucous. I would say it's, we are all Americans and we're all struggling with tough issues, and let's have a room where we can talk about it.
When Pouchard said that, you said, this is a longer conversation than we have time for. You and I ought to have a couple of drinks over this. And I was hopeful that you also said something like, you're right.
Yeah, the math, and we had spoken both before and after the event about this, and it's, what's hard is we have become a country that didn't, this wasn't the case, a dozen years ago. But increasingly, if you live in urban suburban America, you have Democratic representation. If you live in rural America, you have Republican representation. And the old Willie Sutton line, rob banks because that's where the money is. Republicans travel to rural districts to tell their story because that's where their voters are. Democrats travel to urban areas because that's where their voters are. There's an electoral logic in that, but if we don't work to break that, then our divisions are only going to get stronger because we're only going to hear from people who already agree with us. And I think you know, Congressman Pritchard's point is well taken, that even if it doesn't make near-term electoral sense for us to be in those parts of the country, for the long-term health of our democracy, we really need to be.
Yeah. Two other questions for you, Congressman. One is, while a lot of us are frustrated with, disappointed with Republican congressmen and women who are not pushing back more on Donald Trump's overreach, the tariffs as just an example, are the Democrats coming forward with a united message or a voice? I know that you're outnumbered in the House and Senate, but what are Democrats doing about it?
Well, you know, so much of what's happening right now, and this was a lot of our conversation downstate, when you have a White House that is violating the Constitution and breaking the law, the legislative branch should be operating as a check and balance. Our ability to operate as a check and balance is predicated on Speaker Johnson and Leader Thune agreeing to hold hearings, agreeing to do oversight, agreeing to subpoena people like Elon Musk to tell us what they have, you know, what data did they steal from the Treasury payment system.
Right.
As long as they're not doing that, our ability as members of Congress is limited, to our outside voice, which was why I went down there. It's important for us to be educating people on what's going on, and maybe they can put some pressure on Republicans to lean in on this. But then B, what we can do in the courts to push back. We as members of Congress, we are not the judicial branch, but we're working a lot with outside groups to file litigation to make sure that we've got these, you know, we're succeeding in getting these temporary restraining orders.
Can you also, just because you and I are short of time here, give me your thoughts about the Maryland man who has been deported to El Salvador despite 3 court rulings on that? What's the latest on that, and what's your thought about that?
So it is a gross violation of both the Fifth and the Eighth Amendment, right? The Fifth Amendment says you have a right to due process. The Eighth Amendment says that you can't be subject to, I'm forgetting the term of art, you know, the excessive penalties in prison. That is a constitutional violation. The fact that the President of the United States is violating the Constitution and is not being held to account by the Department of Justice or by the Congress is sickening. This person's rights are being stripped from him, and we have to stand up to that. As we sit here, you know, the hearing with the El Salvadoran president was disgusting yesterday. We're sitting here saying we're going to use El Salvador as a prison for Americans. Like, what kind of country have we become?
Does it matter to you that some people don't consider him an American? He's not a citizen.
He still has a right to due process. That is fundamentally not the question. You know, we have people in this country who came here seeking asylum, and we said if you we'll go and give you a court case, and as long as you don't get into trouble before your court case, we'll get you on a path to citizenship. Those people are not citizens, but they trusted us when we told them that if they were, you know, if they got into trouble with the law, we'd give them due process. We have dreamers who are here. Who we told them, as long as you behave well and represent your country, well, we'll get you on a path to citizenship. They're not citizens yet either. For us to say that just because someone is not a citizen means they're not entitled to due process is to break 250 years of the rule of law.
I'll note that he has no criminal arrest record in the United States or El Salvador. They've said he's a gang member, but they have not produced that evidence in a court.
This is banana republic, what the Trump administration is doing. It is embarrassing for the rest of the world. It's embarrassed. We as Americans should be embarrassed by what they're doing.
U.S. Representative Sean Casten, the Democrat from Illinois' 6th.